It is the 8th of March. We have eight games to go through. We have an injury to LeBron James. No word on the severity yet. We will touch on that one. Good performance from Onyeka Okongwu. I want to talk a little bit about him on today's show. A couple of tank, or what are we calling them? Battle for the tank. I don't know. Anyway, we had some games with some pretty bad teams. We will talk about all of the action from Saturday night. This is the Saturday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad. At Old Man Squad on Twitter, go and check them out. I know the baseball stuff is ramping up at the moment. And some exciting news coming from the world of old men. It's been a few days since I've done a show. So good to be back. It's knee injury. It's come the afternoon. I'm pretty wiped and tired, but it is a Sunday here. So, yeah, not feeling too bad. So I thought we would bang out a quick show. Let's get into the games. As I said, we had eight of them. Yahoo have gone and changed their little box score format here on me, so I'm going to see how this works. I used to have if anyone actually paid attention, there was a little tab up the top here above the box score where I could pick the team, but now it's all on one page and I just have to scroll. So don't know what that's going to look like, but we will find out. First game of the night, it was one of those battle of the bottom teams. Charlotte get the win over Brooklyn. They rally to win this one. Doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. But they do get the win, 105 to 102. Let's start with the Brooklyn side of things. We had a good game from D'Angelo Russell, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal and a block. And I talk about frequently the Brooklyn bump and the Charlotte bump. So who gets the bump here? Obviously, D'Angelo Russell did. If you want to go and grab him, you can. No confidence that he's going to play two games in a row, maybe three. This was also against Charlotte, so it's probably high side when we're looking at production from D'Angelo Russell. Cam Thomas had 16 points, nothing else. That's what he does. He gets your points. The 29 minutes is encouraging. He's pushing up to 30 minutes. Still don't think he's going to play back-to-backs for the rest of the season, but at least if you're holding him, you're going to get 30-plus minutes, I would say, moving forward. Nick Claxton, 8-6-2 with 2 blocks in his 29 minutes. He continues to play well, but impacting the upside of De'Ron Sharp as well. Sharp had only 4 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks in his 19 minutes. So if you don't care about points, I think you can hold him. He's not too bad. Trendon Watford, 12-4. Look, as has been for the last, feels like 2 months, it's really just a lucky dip when it comes to picking anyone on this roster. Zaire Williams had 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks. Keon Johnson had 1 point with 1 steal. Next game, that could be flipped. Trendon Watford could have a big one. Who knows? Reece Beekman could come back in. Noah Clowney returned in this one, didn't score in his 18 minutes, but he's going to push up as well. So really hard to trust anyone on this team. Claxton seems to be trustworthy at the moment. Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, no idea how long he's out for. You can probably move on from him, to be honest. He's not putting up these elite numbers that you have to hold on to anyway. All right, let's scroll down and see if this lines up well. Yeah, it doesn't really. That's a bit annoying. It's going to take me an extra few seconds. Anyway, Charlotte, they were without everyone. So we got Musa Diabate starting at center. Perfect night to stream him, 16-15 with a steal. Nurkic and Mark Williams could both return soon. Although in saying that, I'm pretty sure they play tomorrow and Mark Williams has been ruled out again. Let me just double check that though. Does Charlotte play? They played yesterday. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, so my point was the fact that Mark Williams sat out both games of a back-to-back here, well, it's not surprising, but it doesn't bode well because coming out of that failed trade, the Hornets were very adamant that he was not injured. He's not dealing with anything. Failed his injury thing with the Lakers, blah, 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 blah. And then you're sitting him out for two games for absolutely no reason. So it's not a good look, not that the Hornets care. But yeah, it's disappointing if you have Mark Williams in fantasy. You just have to hold him. Hopefully you've got a spare IR spot. Nick Smith had 19 points in his 32 minutes. Damian Bohr had 14 points. Shot the ball terribly. But when LaMelo is out, those guys, they're fine to stream in. Bridges continues to play very well. He is clearly the most trustworthy player on this roster at the moment. Doesn't appear to be missing any games. Nurkic was very good the night before, sat out this one. Roster him, sure, but then when does Mark Williams come back? When do you stream in Diabate? It's really hard to know. And the bench here, I'm not really paying too much attention to any of those guys with the players that we had out tonight. All right, next game of the night. Not a close one. The Rockets get a pretty comfortable win, 146 to 117. We'll start with the Pelicans. They were without Bruce Brown. I feel like there was someone else. Maybe there wasn't. Zion, not his best, but 20 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. It gets it done, at least. Kelly Olynyk failed to score in his 22 minutes. He had 6 rebounds. He had 6 assists. He had 2 blocks. So, yeah, just shot the ball terribly. Don't think you need to hold on to him. He's only playing 25 minutes a night anyway. Eve Misi had 14, 6, and 4. He's fine as a back-end center. Trey Murphy, pretty quiet from him. I wouldn't be surprised if we do get to a point here where they start resting guys. Trey Murphy, CJ McCollum would be the two primary ones, or the guys that aren't resting any games at this point. Zion, we know he sits out back-to-backs. Olynyk, Bruce Brown, these guys are all missing one of every sort of 2 or 3 games. So Murphy, McCollum, if you have them, probably be prepared for some missed games over the next month. McCollum, again, fine, not great. Jordan Hawkins had 13 points. He was the first guy off the bench. More of just a 3-point streamer. Alvarado, only 23 minutes. I was hoping for a bit more. I streamed him in tonight and he had 17, 4 and 7 with a steal. So the line is really nice, but this was a blowout. So they just didn't run with him down the stretch. Matkovic saw a few extra minutes, 11 and 7 with a steal. He will be a streamable guy or an ad at some point. We aren't there yet. Let's look at Houston. So a little bit to talk about here. Not really production-wise. Oh, man, this is going to annoy me, fixing this thing. Not really production-wise. It was a 30-point win. So we don't really need to dig into the numbers too much. Şengün was good. Thompson was good. Eason was fine. Brooks, you play the Pelicans, you're going to get plenty of good looks. 27 points for him. Jabari Smith had 14 and 5 off the bench. We don't need to be holding Jabari Smith. He's not playing enough. Do keep in mind, though, that Tari Eason is still missing or sitting on when they have back-to-back, so one of the games. So then Jabari Smith is someone we want to roster. But let's talk about Amen Thompson, 15, 9, and 11 with a block. So the numbers were good. He was a plus 39. But for some reason, Udoka put him on in the closing stages of the game to try and get him a triple-double. And, of course, he sprained his ankle. Didn't look great, didn't look terrible, but I would expect some missed time here for him. Great timing if you're in your fantasy playoffs with him, as I am. Let's just keep an ear to the ground. Let's see what the verdict is. To me, he sort of comes across as someone that's probably going to be able to get back out there sooner rather than later. So I'd probably be looking at a week minimum, maybe two. Again, didn't look too bad, but any sprained ankle. It can look okay and be bad. It can look bad and not be terrible. Ankles are very temperamental things. So do keep an eye out if you have him in Thompson. I would expect some missed games. Now, if he is out and if Fred VanVleet continues to be out with his ankle injury, which I think he will be for a little bit, it's probably Aaron Holiday that starts. I mean, I guess they could move Jabari Smith into the starting lineup, put the ball in Jalen Green's hands a bit more, run the offense through Sengun a bit more. So, look, that would give them basically no point guard starting. Could they afford to gamble and do that? Maybe. But Aaron Holiday, he had 24 minutes in this one, 20 points. His upside is very limited. But if they do decide to go down that path of starting him and playing him 28, 30 minutes, he's probably going to do enough. But, yeah, look, this might just shore up Tari Eason to play really good minutes, and it might make Jabari Smith a pickup after I just said he was a drop. And that was it. Yeah, man, this new weird thing. All right, next game, another battle of the cellar dwellers. Washington get the win over the Toronto Raptors, 118-117. For the Wizards, let's start at the top. Keyshawn George, shooting the points, the scoring efficiency is going to be very up and down, but he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. I think he's a hold, definitely. As is Koulibaly, he had 18, 10, and 4 with 4 steals. Again, the points up and down, but everything else is good enough. Saar had 10 and 14 with a block. With him playing, Rashawn Holmes was limited to about 20 minutes here. 10 and 11, 2 steals and a block. 20 minutes is probably not enough. But look, I mean, this was a favorable matchup. Up against the Raptors. So, yeah, I wouldn't be running to add Holmes after this one. Chris Middleton played. Roster him if you want to. Both he and Marcus Smart, I don't think you have to view them as guys we're holding or prioritizing or anything here. Jordan Poole, he returned. He was on no minutes restriction, which would indicate that he probably wasn't injured anyway. 34 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 7 threes. So hopefully you were able to activate him. I did. So that was nice in 2 of my leagues. Moved him into my active roster. Who knows if he plays the next game. They might just say elbow maintenance or they'll come up with something. Has to be rostered, obviously. I think George, Koulibaly, Poole, Saar are probably our must-roster players at this point. Carrington, if Poole's out, I think you can, but you don't need to worry about it too much. All right, let's go down to the Raptors. It's a bit slower, isn't it? Scotty Barnes played. Surprising. Didn't think he would in this one. Shot the ball, let's say, pretty poorly, 4 of 16 from the field, but he had 18 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 4 steals. So not all terrible. Shooting was bad, but everything else was good. RJ Barrett, 23, 9, and 3 with a steal and a block and hit all of his free throws. Hallelujah. Jakob Poeltl had 21, 5, and 5 with 2 steals. And then we've got, we had no Emmanuel Quickley, second night of a back-to-back. Chris Boucher is out with a, I think he's got a mouth or a tooth thing, something going on there. Jamal Shedd, we saw a little bit more of him. Obviously no Jacoby Walter, no Mobo in this one. So Shedd is, no Quickley helped him, but I would keep an eye on Shedd down the stretch. I don't mind his fantasy game. He had 9 assists and a steal to go with his 11 points. And then we got 13 points from Jared Roden, Colin Castleton, who has played a couple of games here, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. Intriguing that they're sort of running with him and Orlando Robinson together. If Poeltl misses any time, maybe we look at Castleton, but I think he's on a 10-day contract, so we're not going to get too much out of him. Robinson had two steals and two blocks. You know I like his fantasy game. But if Pirtle is healthy, there's just not enough there. All right, Pacers, they fall to the Hawks, 120 to 118. The Pacers were without Tyrese Haliburton again. That's great when you have Haliburton and he basically hasn't missed time all season, and then you're in your fantasy playoffs and you basically don't have him for a week. That's been fun. So for the Pacers, everyone else just has to do a little bit more. Mathurin returned. He had 30 points, two steals, eight rebounds. This is what we saw from him early in the season, if we remember back to November. Going at him, sure. Obviously, this is best case scenario. He's not going to be this good. But TJ McConnell did leave this game with an ankle injury. Again, didn't look terrible, but you never know. So if he continues to be out, if Haliburton continues to be out, Mathurin's going to have to do a lot, as is Andrew Nembhard. I would go and pick up Andrew Nembhard, 11 and 12 for Nembhard with three steals. Aaron Nesmith had 14 points, two steals. He's sort of back end 12. He's doing enough. Upside, ceiling, pretty limited. But again, with the injuries, he is, I think, someone you can consider. Moving to the Atlanta side of things, Onyeka Okongwu, 16 points, 16 rebounds, three steals, three blocks, perfect from the line. This is why we were calling for him to be their starting center for, feels like it was 2 years at least. They finally figured it out, and he is far and away their best center now, which is great to see. Trae Young had 36 points, eight assists, a lot of turnovers, but doesn't matter, you're used to that. Did appear to injure something here. Now, I don't actually know if we've got a word on what the injury was. Let me just have a look. No word. Yeah, okay. So he went to the locker room. Now, he has been dealing with an Achilles thing, or he's been on the injury report with an Achilles thing. I do think that that is the Hawks just trying to stick it after they got fined early in the season. But, yeah, just keep an eye on that if you have Trae Young. He does try to play through things. The Hawks are now the seventh seed, I believe, which is probably their ceiling in terms of standings. I don't think they can push into the sixth seed. They would love to, but I don't think they can. Actually, I can tell you. Where are we? Eastern. How do I look at the standings here? Eastern? Oh, playoffs. Okay, playoffs. Here we go. So, yes, Atlanta are in the sixth seed at the moment. They are five games behind Detroit. I don't see them catching Detroit. They would love to stay in the seventh so that they get the home playing game, the first one. At the moment, it would be against Orlando, but it's going to be Orlando or Miami, I think. But they would love to have that and then potentially push into a playoff matchup with the Celtics, which no one really wants. But, so I think Trae Young will probably try and play through any injury as long as it's not too significant. So that's good news, but keep an eye on that injury report anyway. Caris LeVert, 26 points, has been playing very well for the Hawks. Have to roster him. George Niang, he was up and down last night. He was very good. Tonight, not so much. He is more of just a streamer, whereas LeVert, I think, is a must-roster player. Reece Shea, Muhammad Gay, we don't need to be holding either of those players. And that's it, isn't it? Yeah, man, this thing's throwing me off here. All right, the Magic, very important win for them as well. Keeps them in the seventh seed. Over the Heat, they get the win over the Bucks, 111 to 109. They led this one sort of comfortably early, and then the Bucks pulled it back, but the Magic do hold on. Cole Anthony, I think you have to go and roster him. He's a little bit inconsistent. There's a reason they weren't running with him to start the season, because he is not a great player, but 22 points, 9 assists, 3 blocks. Look, he's obviously ahead of Anthony Black, which I guess makes him a starter-level player at the moment, so you need to roster him. Caldwell Pope, who had been playing quite well for Caldwell Pope standards, not great. 9-3-1. Stream him in, sure. Wendell Carter had 7-4. Is he the worst starting center in the league? He's pretty close. But I think you roster him because Goga Badadze has been absolutely woeful. What happened to him? 3 points in 9 minutes. The fall off here has just been, yeah. Like, I wasn't totally surprised that they moved him out of the starting lineup, but I just would have thought he'd go, okay, well, I'll play 22 minutes and I'll get borderline double-double, 1-2 blocks, but he's just been woeful. Hopefully no one's holding on to Badadze or Jonathan Isaac or Anthony Black or Tristan De Silva or any of these guys. We don't need to hold them. For the Bucks, look, they were pretty healthy here, so we know the story. When they're healthy, there's not a lot of value. And Kuzma is pretty mid when they're healthy. 11.8 rebounds for Kuzma. I think you can hold him if you want to, but yeah, he's not exciting at all. He needs Giannis out, really. Giannis played through an illness. I'm pretty sure it was an illness. 37 points, 11 rebounds. Lopez had 8-2 with a steal and a block. And this is the problem with Lopez. He's not that good anymore. Lillard had 26-7-4. And that's really it. Kevin Porter, 12 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Look, there was no Gary Trent here, so a little bit more for AJ Green, a little bit more for Kevin Porter, but I don't see either of those guys as priorities. All right, Chicago, over the Heat, 114-109. Bad loss for the Heat. The Bulls, look, they're pretty locked in now to that 10th seed. Look, I mean, I guess they could catch Miami because Miami aren't very good either. Philly, they're not coming for that 10th spot. Well, God, I hope they're not. So I think Chicago are just going to float along and finish 10th. And then, look, I mean, if it's Chicago and Miami in that first game, God, who knows? I really wouldn't want either team to win. But the Bulls will be there in that 10th seed. It seems to be where they land every year. For the Bulls, Josh Giddey, another triple-double, 26, 10, and 12. Trade deadlines have probably come and gone, so you can't move him, so just enjoy this. Buzelis had 13 and 5, so the production, pretty average, but 32 minutes is very encouraging. We're finally getting him 30-plus minutes consistently. Kobe White started very slow in this one, 0 of 8 from the three-point line, but hit all of his free throws, 21 points, 3 assists, so certainly not as good as that last game where he had 44, I want to say. But, yeah, still certainly a passable performance. Zach Collins, 18 and 15. We keep rolling with him until Vooch is back, which I don't think will be in the next game or two. It's interesting that they have gone with him ahead of Jalen Smith. We thought they would go with Jalen Smith given they invested in him and Zach Collins was basically someone they just got for free. Weird, but whatever. Zach Collins does have a pretty nice fantasy game. He hit 4 threes in this one as well. So he does play a little bit like Vooch. He has the ability to space the floor. He can sort of run the offense through him. He's probably not as good a passer as Vooch, but he fits what they're doing. So keep rolling with Zach Collins. Kevin Hurdle had 11 points off the bench. Not really too interested in him. Trey Jones had 15, 5, and 5. 2 steals, 1 block. Is he worth rostering? Look, we know Dosunmu is out for the season. Who cares about Patrick Williams? Lonzo Ball, God knows if he's ever coming back. So I don't mind taking a flyer on Trey Jones at the moment. When Lonzo comes back, that obviously hurts him. But for now, sure, why not? Why not? For Miami, you're not pretty reading. Not terrible from Bam, not terrible from Wiggins or Tyler Hero. They were all fine. Davion Mitchell, if you need assists, you stream him in at the moment. He's getting 7 a night, which is handy. Khalil Ware had 7 and 12, 2 steals, 2 blocks. If you don't care about points, he's very much in that Eve Misi, Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon discussion when he plays. I do think he has slightly more offensive upside than most of those guys, though. Only 7 points, as I said, in this one. But if he's playing 26-plus minutes, I think he's a hold. Rozier had 15 points after that woeful performance two nights ago. I'm not running to grab Rozier. I mean, they left him out here on the court and they lost to Chicago. So just because he put up numbers, as we know, that doesn't mean that you're actually a good player. And Rozier is not at the moment. Duncan Robinson, if you need threes, sure. All right, Detroit. Second last game of the night. Detroit fall to the Warriors, 115 to 110. Asar Thompson was in foul trouble here, so don't stress about the low minutes. 6 and 5 with a steal and a block. He'll be better than that. Jalen Duren had 13 and 13 with a steal. Honestly, probably about as good as you could expect against the Warriors, who run a lot of small ball. Getting 29 minutes and a double-double out of Duren is pretty good. Hardaway, yeah, not interested, thank you. Tobias Harris returned. He had 15 and 12. With him back, not as much for Dennis Schroeder to do. Schroeder was still okay, 11 and 4 with two steals. Very back end, deeper leagues only. Malik Beasley had 17 points with four steals. The four steals are obviously are an outlier, but the points have been pretty consistent all season. You can hold him. And Cade had 31, 4 and 5, 9 turnovers. So just close your eyes. Don't look at that column. Two steals, two blocks. So another very good performance from a very good player for the Warriors. It was Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry doing all the damage as per usual. Draymond Green had 12, 9 and 7, 3 steals, 1 block. Yeah, I mean, he's rostered. I don't need to talk about him. Moody had 12, 7 and 3 with 3 steals. I think we have to hold him while Pajemski's out. Kuminga doesn't sound like he's back anytime soon, which is weird because we thought he was coming back 2 weeks ago. So make sure Moody is rostered. Santos had 15 points, but yeah, look, beyond Curry, Moody, Green and Butler, it's really anyone's guess. Buddy Hield was hot for about a week. Now he's not. Kevon Looney gets some minutes sometimes. Payton, if you need steals, is fine. So, yeah, we know the story here in Golden State, don't we? And the last game of the night, the Lakers fall to the Celtics. Now, they got to within 10. 111-101 was the final score. Lakers were never really in it. They made it close, at least. Where do we want to start? Let's start with the production before we get into the injury news. Luka looking very comfortable in a Lakers uniform, 34, 8, and 3. Now, those assist numbers are obviously down a little bit with LeBron around, with Austin Reeves around, and the team just didn't shoot very well. But still, good game for Luka. Austin Reeves started out very slow. He finished with 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. Just good to see him out there playing 39 minutes. No indication that he's been hampered by that calf, so that's good to see. Vanderbilt started at center with Jackson Hayes out. Now, the Hayes injury, I don't think is anything serious, so he could return for the next game. Vanderbilt is a streamer only if you need rebounds and steals. Finney Smith, I don't even think he's a streamer, to be honest. He's playing good minutes, but he just has a terrible fantasy game. Dalton Connect, 9 points. Very desperate if you need him, if you have to stream him in. LeBron had 22 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. 0 of 3 from the line, that hurts. But the bigger news here was obviously LeBron James suffered a groin injury late in the game, was unable to return. Now there's... we're obviously going to be watching to see what he'll get an MRI. The word is this will be weeks, not days. Now, we know LeBron is the kind of guy to want to play through injury. So, yes, I think he misses time. I would think it's probably a couple of games at least, like maybe a week. If it's 3-4 weeks, he's probably a drop. So wait and see what sort of – we'll probably get reevaluated in a week, which is no help at all. Shout out to Anthony Davis and the Dallas Mavericks. So, yeah, we hold LeBron, obviously, but do keep an eye out on the injury report. If he can't go, what do the Lakers do? Good question. Austin Reeves would get a big bump back up. He's still been fine, but those assist numbers will go up, as will Luka's. So I think both of those guys will have to do more. And then it's, I don't really see someone that we just rush and grab. Hachimura would probably be the guy, but he's injured as well at the moment. Yeah, look, maybe they just start Vanderbilt alongside Jackson Hayes and go for a bit of a bigger look. Does Connect come in? I don't think so. You really wouldn't want to start Gabe Vincent or Jordan Goodwin. There's just no point running three guards like that. So, yeah, it would be Hachimura. I mean, we look down here, there's no one else really that jumps off the page. So I think it's probably just more for Reeves and Luka. And for the Boston Celtics, Drew Holiday returned. Don't run an ad, Drew Holiday. 7 points, five rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis was questionable, probable, out with an illness. So I don't know what's going on with him. They obviously don't care. 14 points, nine rebounds, four assists, three steals and a block for Al Horford, turning back the clock. Keep holding him until Porzingis returns. Tatum was very good, 40, 12 and 8. As was Jaylen Brown, 31 points with three steals. And look at that, Peyton Pritchard, after the best game of his life, he has 3 points on one of five shooting with two blocks. It was great if you had him for that game, what, two games ago? Yeah, I think it was almost a week ago. I don't know. Anyway, if you had him for that game, fantastic. Don't need to hold him. Derek White had 10 points. We do hold Derek White, obviously, but that 40-point performance, also an outlier offensively for him. And that's all the games, I think. So we don't need to see that anymore. Have we got questions? We do have questions. Of course we have questions. All right, let's start at the top, see if we can get through these. All right, would I drop Mikal Bridges for Filipowski? Only reason to keep him is playoff schedule, 4-4-4, or does Brunson's injury change my view? Does Brunson's injury change my view? Yes, it does. I think Mikal Bridges gets a bump with Brunson out, and we all saw Brunson's ankle injury. And I know I just said that an ankle sprain can look bad and not be bad, or can look fine and be bad. Brunson's was really bad. So I do think he misses 2 weeks minimum. I think it could be 3 to 4. So, yes, I think I would hold Mikal over Filipowski in that situation. Aditya, would I drop Neesmith to pick up Cole Anthony? I'm okay with that, I think. Both of them are sort of back end, but obviously Neesmith, his production has been okay, but Halliburton's been out, Mathurin's been out. So Cole Anthony, that spot is his. So I probably would go Cole Anthony in that situation. What's this one from David? In a punt, field goal percentage, turnover, guard build, which of these guys do you think I should use for a stream? So in a punt, field goal percentage and turnover, guard build. Dante, is that Dante DiVincenzo or Dante Exum? Keontae George, Quentin Grimes, Miles McBride. I lead McBride because of schedule. Honestly, I'd probably go Keontae, but I think they're all pretty close. What are you punting? Field goals and turnovers. Yeah, I mean, if you don't care about field goal percentage, well, none of them are great field goal percentage. Yeah, I might lean Keontae slightly because I think Sexton's almost done for the year. But yes, I mean, McBride, their schedule is good. He's going to play 30 minutes, but we saw in the last game he was pretty bad. So, look, I think, yeah, pick one. I think they're pretty close. Should I drop Saar for Clark to improve field goal percentage? Look, you could. I think if you don't need blocks, yes. If you're desperate for blocks, I'd probably hold Saar. But I think Clark's going to be pretty good for the next couple of weeks with no Jaren Jackson. Chinchilla, the guy I'm matched with in playoffs with worst three players are Garland, Jarrett Allen, and Vassell, Jimmy Butler, with the moving Brunson return date. Is he a drop for some? I don't really understand this question. Guy I'm matched up with in the playoffs with worst three players. Worst three players are Garland, Jarrett Allen, and Vassell or Jimmy Butler. Yeah, I don't really understand that one. Rephrase it for me. Chad streamed Justin Champagne. So Chad is apologizing for streaming Justin Champagne. Hini Mini need to drop 5 for 3 streaming spots. That's a lot of names. Who are the drops there? Okay, Najee, Pods, Keon, Davion. Okay, so not Keon. Not Filipowski. Not Collins, if that's... Which Collins is that? John Collins? If it's John Collins, I'd drop him because he never plays. Davion Mitchell, I'd be holding. I think he's starting. He's not very good, but he's getting assists. Christie's been pretty bad. You've got your drops as Klingon, Christie, Filipowski. Klingon, yes. Christie, I think that's okay. Yeah, I'd hold Najee. I'd hold Keon. Pajemski's injured. Maybe you could drop him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you've got 8 players there. So who are the 3 that I would keep? I would keep Najee. I would keep Keon. I would probably keep Filipowski as my 3rd, only because I think Kessler is going to head towards a shutdown as well. Joseph Kim, starting the playoffs week 21, you have PG, 18, Norm, Rudy, Mark. Aren't these injuries just ridiculous? Now a men. What 2 to 3 players are a for sure drop? PG, I think. Not Rudy. He's questionable for tomorrow and he will be back. Mark Williams. AD is the other one. I haven't dropped him yet. I'm really close to doing it. It wouldn't be a men because we don't know. This might only be 2 games. It could be 2 weeks. Monk's iffy. So I wouldn't drop Rudy. Norm, I've dropped him in a couple of leagues. So I'd go PG, Norm. I'd hold Rudy. I'd hold Mark Williams. So PG, Norm, and then maybe AD. Which 2 would I grab in a points league immediately? Sharp, Grimes, Brandon Williams, Najee, Brandon Clark, or Filipowski? Sharp. And Sharp and maybe Najee Marshall. Probably not Brandon Clark. He's better in a category league. Brandon Williams is only on a 2-way, so he can only play a limited number of games. You could add him. I mean, who knows what he's going to do. Sharp, I would definitely add. I still like Grimes. I know he's been pretty bad the last couple of games, but we saw some really good ones as well. So I'd go Sharp and then maybe Najee or Grimes or even Filipowski. Okay, here we go. Lone Des, why are most assist streamers just bad at free throws? It's hard not to punt it and you have SGA. Yeah, look, more and more, like, I always evaluate my punts throughout the season and then towards the end of the season and come up with strategies for next year, which I'm already doing. I'm wanting to punt free throw percentage because it is so frustrating when you aren't in a punt free throw percentage build, which a lot of my teams aren't. And then like Donovan Mitchell goes 6 of 13 or something from the line and that just loses you a category. It's just ridiculous. More and more for next season, I'm just going to punt percentages and turnovers and basically run a points league team. So just draft as if I was in a points league, points, threes, assists, steals, blocks, and rebounds. I don't know how it'll work, but we'll see. A lot of chatter in here about injuries, and I feel you all because I'm in a lot of leagues playoffs this week, and I'm maybe going to win 2. And some of them are just, no Anthony Davis, no Mark Williams, no Rudy Gobert. It's been rough. I meant to undergo an MRI tomorrow, seen leaving the arena in a moon boot and on crutches. Yeah, it could be multiple weeks. I'm not sure. Look, leaving in a moon boot and crutches is not – I think that's pretty common for anyone with an ankle injury because they just don't want to take any chances. Even if I – well, I'm not allowed to play anymore, but even if I was playing and I sprained my ankle, I'd throw a moon boot on it straight away just to protect it. Ernest needs some advice. Semis next week. Fred VanVleet, Maxi continue to be ruled out. Should I drop one of them or both for Naji and McBride? Oh yeah, Maxi, he's another one I've got. Fred VanVleet, I think Fred VanVleet you can probably drop. Maxi, man, Maxi's tough. I drop VanVleet before I drop Maxi. But, yeah, look, if you're in the semis next week and you have to win, then, yeah, sure. Chad's got a question. Oh, no, so comment about the old man squad dynasty league. Yeah, look, I'm winning, but it's just I think I'm up 5-4. Jordan Poole coming back today in that league helped me. No LaMelo didn't help me. We'll see how we go tomorrow, but yeah, I'm sure a lot of you saw what I tweeted out last night. If you haven't, just go and find me on Twitter and I posted it was a pretty long post about some changes I'm going to be making for my leagues next year to eliminate all of the crap that we're dealing with at the moment. Summing it up, basically for me, and I think for my league mates or managers that are in my leagues, the obvious issue is you cut your league short and you finish it before the All-Star break because that is when we start to see the rest from February, normally from about February. So you finish your league. The issue then is not, my league has finished. The issue is, well, what do I do for 2 months now? I want to play fantasy basketball. So why not run a second league? So what I'm going to be doing is ending my league. You play everyone once, you have your playoffs league done. We then probably move into a pick'em format for those that have done pick'em formats. You would know what I'm talking about for those that haven't. It's basically almost like a DFS league. So you pick a new roster every day, 5-6 roster spots. So day one, pick your 6 players. They play. It's a points format, so you just accumulate points. Next day comes around, you drop everyone. You pick up a new 6 players. Points keep accumulating. Day 3, drop everyone, pick up another 6 players. You can pick players as many times as you want. So you can pick Jokic every day that he plays. And the days he doesn't play, you drop him, pick up someone else. And everyone in the league has access to all players. So it's not like a typical fantasy league where if I have Jokic, no one else can have him. If you're if you have 12 teams doing it, all 12 could have Jokic on a certain day. And to me, it's not as fun, but you could make it a category format. It doesn't have to be a points format, but it at least means you're playing fantasy and at least means you get to March and it doesn't matter who's injured because everyone has access to the players that are healthy, the players that are injured. No one's sitting with them in an IR spot and wishing they were healthy. You just don't pick them up until they're available. So that's probably what I'm going to do and see how that works. Sorry, went off on a tangent there. Shining Knight, how would I rank Filipowski, Marshall, Grimes, and Zach Collins? You have Filipowski and Grimes. Wondering if I should get anyone else. Punting, free throws, and threes. You have Filipowski and Grimes. Look, probably based on today. So if we're looking at value today, I'd almost have Zach Collins first. We don't know how long this is going to last, but he's been very good over the last 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks, maybe? He had one bad game where he was in foul trouble. Other than that, he's been really good. Grimes has been up and down. Filipowski's been pretty good, but Kessler is still playing some games. Marshall is going to play big minutes. Yeah, look, I'd almost go Collins and Marshall over Filipowski and Grimes, but that could change very quickly. Cookie Monster. Oh, your league did get shut down. Okay, cheaters wouldn't comply. Sad because we're all friends. Yeah, look, it is sad. We'll run a points league next year for you. Is Halliburton injured? He is. He has a hip flexor injury. What do I think happens with Shaden Grant? With Shaden Grant back and Avdija expected not to miss too much time. I'd still be holding him. We know Jeremy Grant is not going to play much. So I'd still be holding Shaden Sharp. Are public leagues any good? I would generally say no, unless you want to win money, which means they are good, I suppose. But yeah, look, public leagues, you're in there with a lot of noobs. They can be very inactive. Like a lot of the roster data that we get from Yahoo, and it'll say this player is rostered in 40% of leagues. I can guarantee you a ton of those leagues are just inactive. And so someone drafted, Joel Embiid, for example. I reckon if I went into Yahoo and looked at how many leagues he's rostered in, he'd be rostered in 80, 90% of leagues. So that tells you, because any active league, Embiid should have been dropped. So public leagues are a good way to win money because you will get a lot of people that just enter it and then give up. They can be frustrating, but yeah, I'd rather be in a league with people that I know or a league that's set up. So yeah, we might even just run a few points leagues next season for people through FBI and through the old man squad. Alex, giving us his thoughts on Bilal. Feels like that ex that you know isn't the best for you, but you can't stop coming back to. He'll be the worst in my team, but is he an ad purely because of playoff schedule? It's probably a bit of both. I think you can. I think, like I said, I'd be holding him. I've got him in a league and I've just held him. Deal with the bad, enjoy the good. But yes, look, he streaming that spot, I think he's probably just as viable. I think the league that I'm holding him in, we have very limited moves. So if you can just stream away, then I would maybe do that. Shining Knight, different league. Would I drop Pritchard for Kelly Oubre? Yeah, I would. When did Josh Giddey become Doncic Jr.? Love to see it as an Aussie. Rui worth trading for now Boron is injured. Yeah, look, I don't know how long Rui's out for, but he would be the one, like I said. I think if there's anyone that's going to benefit here, it's probably Rui. This is just Cookie Monster's just chatting about his league. Would I trade for Vassell or Castle or Juice not worth the squeeze? I think if you can still trade. Vassell's been phenomenal the last week. Thank God he sort of proved me right. I know I was probably telling people to hold on to him and then he was doing nothing, but he has been very good. Castle's been very good too. I talked about him in a few of my articles as someone you need to trade for and need to pick up because I think the Spurs are just going to play him 30 plus minutes rest of the way. So I think both of them, I like Vassell more, but Castle I think will have a bigger role maybe. Albert Marikin, hello, and hello to you. We've just got Chatter. We don't need to do that. Do I think trading Dante for Reeves is fair? Dante DiVincenzo, yes, I do. I'd rather Reeves. Is D'Lo a must roster in a 10-team points league? I don't think so. He was good today, but when's he going to, like, is he going to play the next game? Is he going to miss two more games? Pick him up now, sure. And then once he's out again, just drop him. Chill Guy. First round of the playoffs, need assists and threes tomorrow. God, we're all going to be streaming tomorrow, aren't we? Would you take a risk on Brandon Williams playing, or is there a better safe stream for assists? look, I think he will, only because Dallas are so shorthanded. What's their... Hang on, let me bring up... where's depth charts? Okay, so Dallas, for tomorrow, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They have 9 players tomorrow that aren't ruled out. You need 8, I believe, to field an active team. Two of those are questionable, Caleb Martin and Dante Exum. I think both will probably play. But, yeah, look, I guess PJ Washington's going to come back at some point. Maybe Kai Jones comes back at some point. Jaden Hardy at some point will come back. So I think they'll probably just lean into Brandon Williams for the next week or two and then see, and they might end up converting him. Anyway, I guess that's a long way of answering the question. Yes, I would probably consider picking him up tomorrow. When you're ready, fifth going into the playoffs, 14 teams. Zach Collins has been great. He has. Do I think Vooch comes back this week? And would I pick up Sharp from the Nets, Dayron Sharp, with five games? Collins has been great. Do I think Vooch comes back? I think he might. Now, I think they're on. Oh, where can I look that up? Let me just have a look at the. So the Bulls' next game is on Tuesday against the Pacers. Yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because the Bulls, as I said, they're in the 10th seed at the moment. They're 3-4 games behind Miami Orlando. So do they just rest Vooch and try and get him healthy for the play-in? Because they're not really going to fall to the 11th spot. They're probably not going to push up, I don't think. So they could just give Vooch another week off here. So I would just be holding Zach Collins. Would I pick up Sharp? Look, five games obviously is very enticing. A lot of the Nets guys aren't going to play all five games. Cam Johnson won't. Cam Thomas won't. D'Angelo Russell won't. Let's go back to the depth chart. So D'Angelo Russell won't. Johnson won't. Thomas won't. Clowney probably won't. Claxton, I don't know, a month ago I would have said Claxton wouldn't, but he's basically been playing every game. I think Sharp might, though. So, again, if you don't need points and you just want some rebounds and defensive stats, I don't mind Sharp for next week. Another one from Alex. Should I try to trade for Levine while having DeMar, or having two kings who need the ball, diminishing returns? I think that's fine because Monk's out and that toe injury, I think, is going to be a bit tricky. I don't mind having both Levine and DeMar. No, Chad, it's not. The real solution is every league becomes a roto. Yeah, I've had this discussion on Twitter with people. I understand the pros for roto. I absolutely do. I just find them so boring. I lose interest in them. And that's me. It's a me thing. It's not a roto thing. I just like the week-to-week matchups. You get the winning feeling. Roto, it's just so slow. But absolutely, you can look at moving to roto. I'm not in any roto leagues, but certainly it does eliminate a lot of the issues, not all of them, with the rest and that sort of thing. What do I think is the better strategy? Last guy in your team being a premier silly season player, or use that spot for streams and other teams has those players? So Shaden Grimes, Filipowski, Trey Jones. Look at your schedule, I suppose, and how often can you stream? Do you have two moves a week? Because what's that? That might get you six games played instead of three or four. You're always taking a risk with a streamer. Yeah. So I think there's pros and cons for both. I do like to have at least one or two streaming spots though. So, okay. We did the Brandon Williams question. Do I think Najee Marshall is better for points tomorrow when compared to Grimes? Ooh, let's have a look. Who do they play? So Dallas play the Suns and Sixers play the Jazz. Ugh. Maybe Grimes if they're playing the Jazz because Jazz don't want to win. Yeah, so maybe Grimes. Thoughts on how the MVP discourse has devolved? Shea was a lock before Jokic's ridiculous game yesterday. Now it seems the media is waiting for single SGA misstep to give it to Jokic. I still think Shea will get it. Should he get it? Sure. I think, honestly, if either of them got it, I couldn't really make a strong argument to say that they shouldn't win it, because I think both of them have been phenomenal. Obviously, the Thunder are the best team in the league. The West. 53. Yeah, close. So, best team in the West by a lot. So I think I'd still have Shea just in front because of team record. But in saying that, Denver a second. And would any of us have picked Denver to come second? Probably not. So, like I said, either way, I don't think I'd make an argument. MVP questions. Cool. Okay, we're done. Very good. Thank you, everyone. We're bang on an hour, so that's good timing. Now, will I be back with a show tomorrow? Let me just check the games tomorrow. 2:33. Maybe. I've got a haircut. I'm going to the movies. We will see. I know daylight savings, I think, ends in America. Is that right? Tonight, tomorrow, whatever. So the games will be starting slightly earlier here. That will actually make it easier for doing my shows because the games end earlier. I can do an earlier show. But tomorrow, yeah, as I said, going out. So I will see. I might be able to do one. Good luck if it's the final day of the first round of your playoffs. I will be streaming away like many of you will be. But thank you for tuning in. Please go and download and like and do everything. And I will be back as soon as I can be. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep Postgame Show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.